And I'll give you, you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. But I want to tell you, we have an advantage, a privileged advantage. Amen? See, in life, there have been times when we have all faced uphill battles. When we were young and growing up, all we could think about was being older. Yeah, I remember when I couldn't wait to be 6 years old so I could go to school. And then, wait a minute, at 12, I can go hunting with my dad and my brother. Awesome. Whoa, wait a minute. When I'm 16, I can drive a car. That's awesome. I'm excited. I can't wait to turn 21. And then when we get older, all we can think about is all the fun we had when we were younger. Wow. To be young again, amen? Well, no matter how hard life seems at times, life is to be enjoyed in every phase and in every step of the journey. When someone has a tough job to do, the first thing they usually want is someone to help them. Yeah, they want someone to help them with it. And it seems in the natural, that's what we always want to do. After all, from the moment that we are born and all through the learning process, our parents are always eager and they're very quick to say, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. Do you remember when your parents used to say, let me help you with that? Pastor, when you talk to your grandson, you say, Nico, let me help you with that. What'd you say? No, Pap, I got this. I got this. But we're always eager to help them, even though they may be able to do that themselves. And the more someone is willing to help, though, the better. And that's fine in the natural. But help isn't always available in the natural for a lot of things. In fact, most of the time it's hard to find. Sometimes we have to look beyond what we can feel and what we can see. Now, I'm talking about the supernatural abilities that exist in God's world, where all things are possible, and there's not anything that is impossible to those who, now, are you ready? I'm going to use the B word, believe. Yeah. Believe. You're there in John chapter 17. We're going to read verses 14 through 17. And here Jesus is praying to the Father for his disciples and for us. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me. And how did they get to believe in him? Through their words. How do others get to believe? Through our words. And it's speaking his word. The word. The Word, the Word. Well, this gives us great comfort here because in the times that we don't understand what's going on in the world, in the natural, we can trust that in God's world, all is well. All is well. See, if you're a believer, this scripture pertains to you. See, you're not of this world. You are part of a supernatural world. It's God's world. And it is possible to live in a world outside the world in which you live. Your head just said, what? It's called faith. We live and walk by faith. We can call those things that be not as though they were. We can change the unseen to the seen. It's a world where we can trust God, not to be affected by the things that are happening all around us. Because of our relationship with Jesus, we have an advantage over those who do not have one with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. There is no fear in love. No fear. You're fearless, unafraid. That's what it does for you. The confidence and the love. You'll be able to face anything. If we ever are afraid of the future, of eternity, of God's judgment, we can remind ourselves of God's love. Yes, the love He has for us. We know He loves us perfectly. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. NIV version. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the past nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an unfair advantage over those who choose not to believe. However, God has given all equal access to the advantage. For He is an equal opportunity advantage giver. Yeah. He is an equal opportunity advantage giver. In life, most people that find an advantage, they take advantage of the advantage. I do. If you're given the advantage, you better capitalize on it and take it. And we have a great advantage through Christ. And that's what doesn't make sense, though. The fact that everyone can and should seek out and have a relationship with their Creator. But so many nowadays, they choose to not. You see, usually no one wants to do everything on their own, except when it comes to things of church and God. Mm-hmm. Statistics show that's why attendance in churches all across the globe are at an all-time low. In America, attendance is reported to be about 20%. The Gallup polls put it at 40, but when you figure in everything else, it actually comes out to 17.7. I was giving us the benefit of the doubt when I... But that's a statistic. 20%? It's almost hard to comprehend because of all the chaos and catastrophe, right? That's in this world. You know, and there is one place where anyone can see. And we got to let them know. See that they can truly find hope in this place and in this time. Yet, It's at an all-time low. When I read that, I thought and looked at myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? I put it on me. What am I doing? Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assemblings of yourselves together, as we see the day approaching, the day of His return. And then what's the other scripture? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from what? Their wicked ways. He said, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. For better or worse, for whatever reason, some just choose to go through life without Him. Now, when there's a 9/11 situation, they call out to Him. And they make all kind of promises. Though serious at the time, deep down, they will never end up being kept. In the movie Unbroken, Louis Zapparini. How you like that, Tim? Zapparini. Doc, Zapparini. It's a good Italian name. He was a troublesome little kid, too, if you go back. Anyhow, Louis Zapparini's airplane was shot down, and he spent 47 days on a raft tossed around on the ocean until he was, they say, rescued. No, he was picked up by the Japanese Navy. And then he spent several years being tortured, not held a prisoner. He was tortured in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And then he was eventually set free. During the time, he prayed and called out to God a lot. And he made a lot of promises to God. And he said that he would serve Him. He says, I'll serve You, Lord, if You will just get me out of this situation. God delivered on his request. However, it wasn't until after going through years of alcoholism and depression did he make good on his promises and give his heart to the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade in 1949. And then he began to serve God. And you know how he got to that crusade? Because his wife was already saved before him and encouraged him. So ladies, your encouragement to your men pays off.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yep.
And thank you, Lord. But see, behind that woman was a man of God, Pastor John Bannon.
Yep.
And because of him getting her to stand where she needed to stand, I stand here today.
Yeah.
And ladies, that's why I give you an encouragement. His wife was the same way. She didn't force him to go. She encouraged and nudged him. And he went. And he went. And at that moment when he gave his life to Christ, that's when he found forgiveness, peace, and love that he had been searching for. His whole life, he found it the day he accepted Jesus. As I like to say, he got saved to the bone. While his story is miraculous, it's not a story that is known just unto him. There are countless millions upon millions of people that share that same story. See, it doesn't matter the circumstances. God wants us to come to Him in our time of need and is willing to accept us just as we are and in the condition that we are, knowing all along that we're going to do what we're going to do afterwards, right? But He still comes through for us in our time of need. I have seen countless people who have said, Lord, get me through this, help. And He come to me and said, let's pray so we can get through to this point. We pray, they get through it. They aren't even in this house. Their prayer got answered, God met them where they needed, and they're not here. Clearly, the world doesn't have a clue to how much God really loves all of humanity. There are so many things He wants to do for all of us. Things He is ready, willing, and able to do. On a moment's notice. On a moment's notice. Some of the situations or circumstances we've been in, yeah, it takes time, but there have been times when He answers right now. It's in His timing. He knows what we need. And He knows how to deliver upon those needs. He's always ready to respond, even if only when there's a need for something. Think about that. In Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, Message Bible. Scripture reassures us. No one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for Him. Everyone who calls, "Help, God," gets help. Everyone who calls out, "Help, God," gets help. The only thing He's waiting for is for us to call out in faith, asking and believing. Asking and believing that He will help us. See, it's not based on what we've done or what we've come to deserve. We think we deserve it. No, it's nothing we've done. But it's only based on His love for us. We serve a wonderful, mercy, love, and grace-giving God. And it makes you wonder why so many people try to go through life without Him, facing one thing after another on their own. Those people are miserable. I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of them. Psalm 68, verse 19. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. He brings us and gives us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He doesn't stop there. He just loads you up with all kinds of benefits. The same God who saved you just loads you up. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. He doesn't just throw His kids a bone now and then. Nah, He serves us up a T-bone steak cooked to perfection. And He gives you all the trimmings that go along with that. He is absolutely the most generous. He is the God who is more than enough. He is El Shaddai. Even when we're not worthy, even when we're the same old with Him, He is not swayed or affected by our behavior. He is always the same to us. What's the scripture say? He is the same yesterday, today, and for His ever. His love doesn't change. He doesn't change. He is faithful to us because He loves us that much. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Yes, He can. He can heal all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He is willing to rescue us from our iniquities, from our diseases, and from our destruction. Destruction. You know what that means? That means from the grave. That means death. That means from the pits of hell. That's what destruction brings. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed us. Healed. Is that past or present tense? So what's that mean? That we're healed. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, you are healed according to His word. And that's what you say. By His stripes, I am healed. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, quit focusing on how you feel and focus on word. Well, you don't know what I'm facing. Look at the mountain. Well, that's great. But don't talk to the mountain. Don't say how big it is. Look at that. I can't overcome it. You say, you be leveled now in the name of Jesus. Wipe it out with the word. Wipe it out with the word. Whatever your mountain is, wipe it out with the word. That's why He gave us His word. It levels the playing ground. Because your head's going to get attacked. Your head is going to get attacked. And when you load yourself up with the word, you can put those thoughts captive and under the word. And they won't come back up. They may try to, but as soon as they start to sneak up a little bit, you put the word on it and it's done. Well, He who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies satisfies your mouth with good things. And how many of you know that God's definition of good is certainly way better than we can ever hope, think, ask, or even imagine? And if that's not enough, He who satisfies also promises to renew your youth. Hallelujah! Huh? He promises to renew your youth. That's awesome. What a good God we serve. To get your youth renewed. It is not impossible. Not with God. Turn the head off. Turn the heart on. Now we can tell that David, he was excited here when he wrote this. And who in the world wouldn't be? It excites me. Just reading about it. And it gets me to the point of sitting there saying, yeah, I can't believe God loves me. Little old me from Monaca, Pennsylvania. He loves little old you from Aliquippa. Yeah. From Center Township. Little old you. From Rochester. Beaver. Baden. Wherever you're from. Just think about it. Wow. He loves me. Loves me. David knew firsthand about the benefits from having that relationship with the Lord. And everyone who has ever walked with God for very long, they will tell you the exact same thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So many have never really given God a chance to work in their lives. I can tell you, knowing God and having a relationship with Him, it's an amazing adventure. And God loves it when you have that kind of expectation from Him. So what's your expectation of God in your life? Do you set the hurdles high or do you set them low? Especially for the God of all possibilities. If anyone is ever up for the adventure, the God who created everything, everything that we have in life, including the adventure, He is up for it. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 17 here. Hello, God's calling. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Consist here is the Greek word synestao. It means put together and held together. Not only did He put it all together, He holds it together. In any relationship that you have, if Christ is the center of your relationship, He can hold it together. That's why it's so important when, for husbands and wives, when you're married, we stress, keep Christ in the center of your marriage, and your marriage will not fail. With Christ in the center, I'll say it again, it will not fail. The great adventure the whole world is looking for you know where it lies in Christ. But see, the devil, he has so many of them convinced that it can be found in everything else but Christ. And we all know that's a lie. It's a lie from the father of lies. I can say, I've tried it. No. When you're looking, you want that adventure with Him. I tried it without Him. He got me nowhere. I thank Him for saving me. Getting my life straightened back up. Directing my steps to where I need to go. And when I started to go with a little bit of a wrong direction or had a question, I had a great pastor who would sit down and give me a little scuff on the back of the head and say, get in line. Jack, what are you doing? Get in line. What's the word say? Never gave me an opinion. He gave me the word, what the word would say. And then once he said it, and I hate to go, but it was the same with tithing. The same with tithing was it was for me. Yeah, I had questions about it. And he knew it bothered me. On a Sunday, I had the question. I researched it into the Word because that's how I was being taught as I grew as a Christian. Then I came in Tuesday morning for prayer. He came to me, he says, something bothered you on Sunday night. What didn't it? what was it about the tithing? You know, do you have a problem with that? And I said, no, I have a question. He said, what is it? I said, do I tithe off the net or the gross? He looked at me and said, first fruits, brother. Nothing else had to be said. That was it. I had already found all the answers. I just needed somebody to go, boom, you found it. You have it. He said that to me in my life is never, I've never financially had to worry. And I give God all the glory for that. God was able to speak through a vessel that I needed to hear. And so when you hear that and you hear my story right now, somebody says, there he is talking about that tithing thing again. No, I'm just telling you, tithing works. You have tithers' rights. He will rebuke the devil for you. You have rights when it comes to that. Well, you say, why can't you give what you can give and what your heart tells you to give. And then the more you get relaxed with it, the more you'll start realize you can trust God. God can meet every financial need in your household. He will bring the work in for you. If you want to be lazy and sit and fat in front of the TV, it ain't going to work that way. You got to go out and get a job. You got to work. Especially if you can work. Well, I got it way back on track here. The world doesn't need a religion. What it needs is a relationship with Jesus, the reconciler, the only way to God the Father. No one can come to the Father but by Him, through Jesus. And if most people knew the whole story of God's grace, instead of just the bits and pieces and a part that they think they know, this world would be a different place. And everything, and I mean everything, would be affected by it. Why don't they know, though? Because the Great Commission hasn't been completely carried out yet. Has it, brother? No, it has not. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, New King James, Jesus, these are Jesus' words. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. If the world were really to experience a relationship and the goodness of Jesus, if they were to experience the favor and grace of God firsthand, there wouldn't be enough room in any church to hold the crowds of people. Think about that. And for that to happen, though, we have to do our part at sharing the good news to this lost and hurting world. We got to get people born again. Another statistic for you. 51% of U.S. churchgoers say they've never heard of the term the Great Commission. Wow. Now, we've heard that preached about in the Great Commission from this pulpit. So this church preaches the word. Well, I don't know if I can do that, some of you say. Well, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He will give you the words to speak. I have gone to visit people and prayed for an opening because I said, I really don't want to go there. But I was pushed by the Holy Spirit to go. And I prayed and I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me. I have no idea how to open this conversation and get it started. And I go in that room and it's like, boom. Things are open and people are willing to listen to me because I prayed before I went in. I didn't do it on Jack's power. I did it on the Holy Spirit that was in me. And that's how you can do it, because it's the Christ in you. You know, 75% of regular church attenders do not believe that sharing their faith is important. Wow, 75%? The Bible, the inspired Word of God, So many of you own one. Yet, so few realize that the abundant life-giving message it contains for each and every one of us. And for all those out there. There are people out there, they own a Bible. But the pages won't come apart because they've never opened it. One third of all Americans believe after they die, God will give them a second chance. Wow. We got to get the word out. Amen. See, because God's word is amazing. Because what in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God's word has power. God's words are life. God's word will change your life if you let them. See, God's word in your mouth, out your lips, will change someone else's lives. Amen. If you open your mouth. See, it's time we started thanking Him and taking Him at His word. So we don't have to wonder why people are the way they are, but we need to accept that they are. You probably heard me say this several times, some of you. Did you ever see the movie, the Muppet movie? Did you ever see the Muppet movie? There's a scene where Kermit the Frog, the green frog, okay. Anyhow, he comes into this little restaurant and he's really down. And the chef who's there, remember the chef? Cool dude. Anyhow, Kermit comes over there and he sits down and the chef comes out and wants to know what's going on. He just lays it out about how the people have let him down and this has happened with people and everything like that. Well, you know, woe is me. What do I do? And how do I understand this? And the chef just looks at him and says, Kermit, peoples is peoples. That has spoke to me forever. Peoples is peoples. See, our job is to plant a seed anywhere we can. See, we don't have to lead them to the trough. Just point it. Point it out. Because we certainly can't make them drink, can we? But we can tell them how delicious tasting and refreshing that living water is when they finally drink from it. Jesus said it like this, lift me up and I'll do the rest. God knows how they are and He loves them anyways. Yeah, He knows exactly how the people's is. And He loves the peoples. Peoples is peoples, folks. And that's what grace is all about. Shouldn't we try to do the same thing? So remember, when you look at somebody, you say, peoples is peoples. I got to love them. How do I love them? Through the Christ in you. Our first shih tzu. Cody. Rocky's first cousin. Right, Pastor? Bert? Yeah. Well, he had gotten sick. And every day, Teresa and I had to give him this medicine through a syringe. We would hold him and forcibly try to get this syringe into his mouth. Now notice I said, tried to stick the syringe into his mouth. We would have more of the medicine on that little guy's face and on the floor than in his mouth. One day, after battling, trying to hold him, sitting there at the chair, I just said, enough's enough. I put him down. I'm sitting there. I got that thing hanging to the side of me like this. And I'm trying to figure out, this has got to be an easier way. Next I know, he's over there. He's licking the syringe. I said, okay. So I squeezed a little bit. He licked some more. That's good. A little bit at a time. He got that whole thing done. I said, okay. This is how it's done. And that's how we ended up giving him that medicine to get him through that. See, Cody hadn't been resisting the medicine. He was resisting the method that we had used, forcing it down his throat. That's what they told me to do, those things. It's not how you do it. The salvation message is the same. See, our job isn't to force it down anyone's throat, but to simply just keep spreading it around and proclaiming the goodness of it. And we do that through our lives, the way we live. See, people watch. They watch you. And they listen to the words you say, even in a conversation. After I got saved, that's the way it was for me when I was still working in the mills. People would say, this is what you said. You just swore. I says, no, I didn't swear. Oh, yeah, you did. I said, no. I says, because my spirit inside me would have told me I said something wrong. But they listen. They listen carefully to what you say and how you act. You can turn to Psalm 34 if you like. Psalm 34. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. But this is the Message Bible. Because Tim loves the Message Bible. Okay. Verse 1. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with His praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at Him. Give Him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from Him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to Him. Worship God. If you want the best, worship opens doors to all His goodness. Amen. Ours is not to wonder why, but to be found faithful and keep sharing the good news. And remember what He said to do. Love them as I have loved you. That's the hard part. Because He is not a love-hate kind of love, but a love-love kind of love. And no matter what kind of love, it's called agape love. That's what makes His love and our relationship with Him special. And when people see that in our lives, they will want it in theirs too. We need to let them all know that they have the advantage, especially the advantage they have if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our job. To live it, speak it. I should say live it and breathe it. Because it was by His breath that we are who we are. And His Spirit dwells within each and every one of us. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because the greater one is in you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.